I don't know if Peggy knows this or not, but she had tongues, and I've got the interpretation. This is not the time to be silent. When the voices of confusion and dismay surround you and raise their voices, this is the time for you to declare the works of the Lord. It is a time for my body to rise up. It is not the time to be quiet. It is not the time to acquiesce. It is not the time to draw back. It is the time to push forward against the powers of darkness, that they are being revealed and they are being pulled down and they are being shown for what they are, is they are sounds, clouds without rain. They have no power in them except the power of confusion. But you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. And the voice that you speak, it will rise up and it will cause the enemy to scatter and will diffuse him and all that he has. For he cannot win. He shall not overcome. For I have already defeated him. But it's time for my people to declare my victory in the earth again. To shout out with the voice of triumph, to shout out the things of my spirit, declares God. For I am rising in the land, and I have come to set people free, not to put them into bondage, not to put them back into the old ways, but to proclaim a liberty that will set all people free, not just a class, not just a group, not just a crowd that gathers together, but I am gathering my people, and my assembly is taking authority in the earth again, declares God. And I will see this to the end, and for I will be with you, and I will not leave you. So take heart. Take heart and rise up and speak with confidence, because I am the one who is leading you into victory and into the truth, declares God. Amen and amen. Are you eager to hear Ron? Okay, we've got to build something here. Yeah, I'm ready. You know, I keep thinking about David. I rejoiced when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I got excited about it. So we're excited today to hear Ron. He gave me a bibliography here, and I don't know if he expects me to read it or not. I probably won't. But he was born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. I sure hope they get a football team soon. I'm a Buckeye fan. I graduated from Ohio State University, so I'm a Buckeye fan. It's about the only football I watch anymore. But he's been ministering for over 36 years. He's served in numerous capacities in the local church and the church at large. He served 5 years. I didn't know this. He served 5 years on the ministerial staff at Rhema Christian Center, a thriving training center in Columbus, Ohio, where he was ordained in 95, and through the leadership of Lafayette Scales, Apostle Senior Pastor. He's the Apostle of the Kingdom Faith International Christian Center in Columbus, Ohio. He's spoken in the United States. He's spoken internationally. I'm just glad that he is taking the time with us, and I'm proud to get to know him, and even better in the future. So, Pastor Ron, would you welcome Pastor Ron Hairston?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. How many know the Lord is good? Last time I checked, he's still good. Despite what we see, amen, he is still good. First of all, I count it an honor to be here. Thank God for Gordon and Debbie Brubaker. They've just been a blessing to me. And I'm just thankful for being here in your city. Amen, because it's just a joy to come down those hills, I'm telling you. So I am thankful for allowing me to be here. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to be here and the things that he's doing here in your city. And sometimes if you try to look in the natural, you think he's not doing much. But the Bible tells us to look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. And that's through practice. So we're learning how to believe that even though we don't see him moving, he is moving, because he promised he would do so. Amen? Yes. Praise God. So I'm excited about being here. We're going to pray and get right into our lesson here. Amen. I believe God has given us for today. And I'm just excited to be here with you guys. Amen. Too bad I can't just gather y'all all up and put you on the bus and take you back with me. Amen. But some of y'all be like, no, that's not going to happen. Praise God. Yeah. But we're excited. Touch your neighbor. I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Or point at them. Amen. 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 Praise God. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we just want to honor your presence and thank you for this great ministry that you have here. We thank you, Father, for the church, Father, not just this natural building of history that we're standing on here today, but we're thankful, Father, of the people that sit in the pews today, because that is the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. When you said, Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, you said, will not prevail against it. Yeah, we know that means people, God. So the people are here, I'm here, and we're going to yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to do what he does best, and that's to encourage our hearts, especially in this territory that we live in. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But yet the world is trying to influence us to believe that there's no God. But we believe that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to your power that's already working in our lives. We yield ourselves to the ministry. Come on, Holy Spirit, take this vessel of clay. Use it for the glory of God. Let the word of God be revealed unhindered, Father. We just believe even now that eyes will be open, ears will be open. Give us strength even through the word, God, that we can draw upon you today. This we pray and ask in the name of Jesus, and we do bind the enemy and all his devices. And now, Lord, just be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Praise God. Well, Faith Empowerment Week. That's what we're going to be talking about this week. Faith Empowerment Week. How many know when you fuel your car up with gas, how many know you're empowered? When you put gas in that vehicle, amen, you empower that vehicle with what to get you going from what point A to point B. Well, God wants to empower us this week, the Faith Empowerment Week. The purpose of us coming together, I wrote something down. I want you to hear this because this is a faith statement, not only just for you, but also for me. The faith statement is the purpose for us coming together is our expectation for these meetings this week is based upon hearing God's word. Somebody say hearing God's word. And then it says, so that our faith will increase to believe God's power. Somebody say God's power.
God's power.
Will be made available for us or to us. Somebody say to us.
To us.
For us.
For us.
And operating through us now.
Operating through us now.
Now I said that because a lot of times we do have faith in the Lord, but sometimes our faith is on leaving here and going to heaven. Hello, somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that tradition has taught us that there's nothing to hope for down here. We just need to leave here and go there. And there's something that's missing in that. If you follow the teachings of Jesus, he's not going to say that at all. He's going to say something contrary in the Lord's Prayer. He prays, amen. When you do pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what, in earth, as it's already done, what, in heaven. So there's something he needs to do in earth before we go to heaven.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Amen. Praise God. All right. So we're talking about to us. Somebody say to us.
To us.
Somebody say
for us.
And through us.
Through us.
Now.
Now.
Somebody say now.
Now.
See, the Bible says faith, now faith is. Now, let me give this to you for free. It won't cost you anything. Faith is the currency of the kingdom.
Yes.
Somebody say, faith is the currency of the kingdom.
Faith is the currency of the kingdom.
When you go to any nation, they have their own currency. They have their own currency. In other words, to get byproducts or goods, you have to have the right currency. If you don't have the right currency, you can't receive the products or the goods. In the kingdom of God, because we're saved, we're now people of faith. We have to learn. The Bible said to just live by faith. Amen. We have to learn how to use our faith to receive what God has already given us, not when we get to heaven, but right now. Is that all right? So we have to learn. Remember, the word learning is important for us because learning points to this thing about disciple. When I first gave my heart to the Lord when I was 25, I'm 62 now, or 60, trying to keep it. You know how the marbles get to rolling around. But I'm 62 now, And I'll be 63 in October the 10th. I'll be 63. My wife is the same age. She's 10 days. I got here 10 days before she did. I got saved. I mean, got born naturally October the 10th, 1955. She got here October the 20th. So I gave me 10 days to get things prepared for her before she. But praise God. But she is my sweetheart. Amen. We've been married now over 40 something years. And I'm just thankful, amen. She's not here with me today, but she did send her prayers, amen. So let me get back on track here, amen. So remember, amen, we're talking about to us, for us, and through us, now. Amen. Some people have faith for what's going on in their life right now, but they don't have faith to come out because they don't believe that there's no way out, all right? All right, let's establish some foundation here. Let's go to 1 John. There's a lot of scripture. I hope you got your Bibles with you, electronic devices. Amen, because that's very, very important. I mentioned the word being a disciple. Amen. A disciple or maybe a learner is a disciple, somebody who is disciples. A disciple is a student, a pupil, or trainee. How many know we always want to be followers of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Not just on Sundays.
That's right.
I dropped something there. Hello. And not just on midweek service, but 7 days a week, we want to learn how to be disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Christ. See, a disciple is a student, a pupil, a trainee. We're trying to learn some things that we haven't learned before. We want to do some things that we've never done before. We want to act a way that we've never acted before. Oh, yeah. Some people, amen, the light bulb will turn on, hopefully, amen, praise God. So turn to 1 John, amen, because we can have fun in the house of God, amen. We don't have to be all stoic, amen, because God is not stoic, amen, because he created us. So you know he's got a sense of humor, amen, praise God, and that's good. Now, 1 John, chapter number 5, just that fourth verse, we're going to lay some foundation here with the time that we have together. And the time that we have left, we'll pick it up this evening to pick up what we have. We're talking about Faith Empowerment Week. So come on, let's get ready to go. Amen. First of all, we're going to look at some scriptures. One is 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 4. It says, whatsoever is born of God, amen, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Notice it says your faith. It's important that you see this because it's not talking about God's faith. It's talking about our faith. So our ability, amen, amen, to believe is based upon scripture. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Because a lot of people have faith in themselves or faith in their abilities or faith in the world. But Jesus said, have faith in God. But it's a choice. So what you put your faith in is a choice. Is that making any sense? So most people don't believe that. Turn to 1 Peter. We're laying foundation like I told you before. 1 Peter, we're going to look at 1 Peter, amen, chapter number 1. And the Apostle Peter, amen, declares something again. That was John, amen, that we just read, amen. And it talks about our faith has the ability to overcome the world, amen. Our faith in what? In God. Now notice it says here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 7. It says that the trials of your faith, there it is again, it talks about your faith. The trials of your faith, it says, being much more precious than gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How many know when you are facing things in life, God is not on trial? What's on trial is, I just read it. It says the trials of what? Your faith. Your faith is on trial. And a lot of times when God allows us believers to go through trials or difficulties sometimes to hit our lives, amen, he's looking for three things to come out of praise, glory, and honor. Praise, glory, and honor. So when you're going through a lot of times, if you're murmuring and complaining, that ain't what God's looking for. So he doesn't kick you out of the kingdom. He knows that you haven't gotten it yet. He's waiting on you to understand that you have to have faith. Your faith has to be ignited in order to praise and thank him. Is that all right? So he's looking for praise, amen, that when we hit something in our life, not complaining, but just to give thanks, amen. How many know it don't cost anything to give thanks? Sometimes when we eat our meal at home, me and my wife, we've been doing this for years, we just bow our heads and give thanks. When I was in Africa, amen, you know what? When you've been over there about 30 days and you see the people, amen, amen, malnourished and not having the things that they need, you know, you have a great appreciation when you come back to the United States of America. And we're not, amen, we don't have it all together. One thing we do have, amen, we have God working in this nation still, amen, despite, amen, people may not do right, but that doesn't mean that God is not going to honor his word with us, amen, as a nation. Can y'all say amen? So it's important for us. And so he says here that the trials of your faith, and this is interesting because your faith is precious. Touch it. Well, you can't touch your neighbor, but you can point at them, amen, and let them know that your faith is precious. Your faith is precious. Amen. Our faith is precious. Let's go to Jude, amen, 1 and 20. We're still laying foundation. Amen. How many know before you build, you got to have a good foundation? Amen. I'm going to make sure we have a good foundation. Amen. So over in 1 John, we already talked about that, but we're going over the book of Jude, amen, right before Revelations. And it says in Jude 1 and 20, but ye beloved, it says, building up yourself on your most holy, what? Faith. So there it is again. You have to build your faith up. Amen. And here it says how we can build our faith up is praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a natural language, but when we receive Christ and those who can get past the intellectual part of that and just receive what he says is rightfully ours, we have another language that we speak with our spirit, and that's called that babbling that you hear. The Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to himself, but he speaks to God. And he, amen, he reveals what's going on inside of us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I read these three scriptures, amen, to let you know, amen, that through the Bible. So when the Bible speaks of our faith, somebody say, when the Bible speaks of our faith. Because here comes some good teaching for you, right? I mean, you already get some good teaching because it's the word of God. It's not so much me, but it's the word of God. What we're doing is rightly dividing the scripture, laying foundations so we can come to an understanding. Here it says, amen, I want you to hear this. That God's, amen, not God. So when the Bible speaks of our faith, somebody say our faith. When it speaks of, when the Bible speaks of our faith, has to deal with the three scriptures that we just got through reading. Listen, it consists of three things. So our faith consists of three things. Are y'all ready for it? The first thing, amen, is our confidence in God. Did y'all hear that? So when I open it up, when I open your faith up, I'm going to find these three things in there. Your confidence in God, your confession of God's word. And the third thing is a big one, obedience. So we've got, when I open your faith up, I'm going to see if I get a definition of this operating in your life. I'm going to see that your faith is going to reveal your confidence in God, your confession of God's word, and your obedience to God's word. Did y'all hear that? Because sometimes we say things that we don't have understanding for. You know, like some people say, blind faith. That statement is not correct. Because faith is not blind. When you look at, if you take the world's definition of what they say faith is, then you're going to be all over the place. Yeah. But when we understand from what the Bible says, remember I said when we speak of the Bible concerning our faith, it consists of three things, which is our confidence in God, not only that, but our confession in God's word. And the third thing is our obedience. Y'all remember David in the Bible? David was obedient to his father when the Philistines were against Israel. He went down in obedience because his father told him to go down. Is that right? Take his brothers and them some lunch. Is that right? In the midst of him being down there, he heard this Philistine talking about his God. Not his church. But his personal relationship with God. And he took it personal to the degree that he said, I'm going to do something about this. His brother said, well, there you go again. But David knew it wasn't about him. It was about who he represented. Just like me being here today, it's not about Ron Harrison. It's about who I represent. So the thing was, is that David, amen, I'm just jumping forward a little bit. He just decides he's going to fight this Philistine. Now, you can't fight a giant that's much taller than you are. I mean, way bigger than you are, unless you have confidence in God. He uses his faith because he has what? Some people are waking up, amen. He's going against the enemy because he has. So it's his faith. It's Israel's faith to sit in the ditches because because their fear. Fear will oppress you. Allow you to become a victim. Allow you to be abused. But David just went to deliver some lunch. And he heard something that went against his belief. Then he decides, I'm going to fight this giant. What I love about David is once you're in faith, you don't talk naturally. I mean, you talk futuristic. Because David simply tells the giant, listen, we're going to fight today. I'm just paraphrasing. Look at me later. Praise is in 2 Samuel. I'm gonna check it out. He said, we're going to fight, he told the Goliath. We're going to fight today. This is him talking to the giant. He said, I've heard, you've been talking, but I'm talking now. Remember, I heard a prophetic word today that some of the things that are facing us as a people is because we don't understand how to talk back. I heard your voice, but I got a voice too. He said, listen, he said, this day, David's telling, he said, this day, let me tell you how ESPN, this battle's going to go down today. Let me tell you, amen, I'm going to take that sword off of your hip and I'm going to cut your head off. Now, I ain't even fought yet. They haven't even fought yet. Y'all didn't hear me. They haven't even fought yet. David said, I know I'm going to win before we fight. How I know I'm going to win because I'm not just here by myself. Because I have confidence in something other than myself that made me stand here in the first place. And the one that I have confidence in, he's going to give me the ability to do what I'm already saying I'm going to do. Are y'all hearing that? I just ran around. Y'all didn't even see me. Praise God. That's how I felt. I felt like just running around right now because that was a word for us to receive in Jesus' name. So when the Bible speaks of our faith, it consists of three things. Our faith in God, our confidence in God, amen, our confession, amen, in God's word, to confess his word, and obedience. When God, amen, listen, God's faith starts with a word of promise. So now we got our faith. Now we're going to look at God's faith. God's faith starts with a word of promise. Turn to Hebrews 11 and 1. Praise God. Are y'all learning anything today?
Yeah.
This is good stuff. Yes, it is. Amen. This, as they say, this dog a hunt. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Hebrews 11 and 1. When you're there, just say amen. I got one amen over there. Praise God. Some people still looking. That's all right. I'm okay. Amen. I'm having a great time. Praise God. The Bible says in Hebrews, we're talking about God's faith now. Somebody say God's faith.
God's faith.
It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. Listen to what this says in the Amplified. The Amplified, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. And the conviction of their reality of faith, perceiving real facts, what is not revealed to our senses. So God's faith, listen, let me explain it this way. God is a speaking spirit. In John 4, when Jesus meets the woman at the well, and finally they go through all this, give me your water, this water, you know. She says, well, where is your bucket, you, and all this. And finally he said, I got water that you know not have, know not of. This water I can put in you, a well of water. And she says she wanted the water. We're going down. She talks about, you know, she didn't have no husband because Jesus said, go tell your husband. He said, you've been married 5 times and one you with. It's not your husband. Praise God. Amen. So she had issues. Somebody said she had issues. But that didn't stop Jesus from what talking to her, because he understood she needed something other than her natural life. And he is the life giver. He wants to take us beyond the natural law of our living. Amen. Because that is a restraint on God, because that's not God's will for our life to live naturally when we've been born spiritually. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So the Bible talks about, amen, how he finally tells her, amen. She said, well, Jerusalem is the place to worship. And he begins to look at her. He said, you know, well, you know not what you worship. He said, they that worship God must worship him by their spirit and also truth. And then he says, God is a spirit. That's what he said. Jesus said, God is a spirit. In other words, you wouldn't know who God is if I didn't come. Because Jesus, what? He is actually, he is the Son of God. Are you listening to me? This is important for you and I to hear, because when God's faith starts, it starts with his creative ability to speak. See, when God opens up his mouth, amen, the speaking spirit of God, it creates. We found that to be so in what? Genesis chapter number 1. Is that making any sense? So it's important for you and I to understand that when God's faith starts, it starts with a word of promise. Now, I read that, Hebrews 11 and 1, because it says, now what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Listen, it's not the evidence of things that are being seen. So when God says something to us now in covenant, the covenant comes through his son Jesus. It's because what? He has promised us something. But 1 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, all the promises of God are yea and amen. Does that make any sense? Let me back up some more. Let's go to Isaiah 55 and 8 to get more clarity to this. Amen. We're talking about God's faith starts with a promise. Somebody say amen. 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 I like this. Amen. I'm so glad. Isaiah 55. Let's look at verse number 11. Amen. Amen. So listen what this says. So shall my what? Word that go. This is the prophet Isaiah talking about God. Listen. So shall be the words that go forth out of my mouth. And if this shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that where I please, and it shall prosper in the way which I what? Send it. Did y'all hear that? So he's talking about, basically, Isaiah 55, 11, amen, is talking about God's faith, when God's faith is released in his words. When his words are spoken, it's designed to create. Not only is it designed to create, but also it reveals the promises that he has for us in this life and also the next. Okay, let's look at something else here. How do we establish our faith? I'm glad you asked that question. How do we establish our faith? Okay. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 4. You may not know it, but we're still laying foundation. Is that all right? Amen. Sometimes the church is just, we just go. But sometimes it's just good to slow down, just lay some foundation down. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, when you're there, say amen. Let's look at the fourth verse, and let's listen what the word of God says. It says in the fourth verse, Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are you saved. Woo! I just did a seal out. Y'all just have to, you know when you... Now, you may not understand what that means. Let me explain it from my granddaughter. Amen. She is McKaylin. McKaylin, how old is McKaylin now? McKaylin is 6. When she was 4, we took her to Red Lobster. No parents. And she was excited. So we let her order, not from the kids' meal, but whatever she wanted. Of course, we knew it was going to be the kids' meal, but she didn't know it. So finally, when she got done with her meal, I said, honey, what you want for dessert? And she said, you know, I want that, what do you call it? I'm trying to get this right here because, you know, I'm not a dessert guy, but it was... what was that? Key lime pie. I'm getting hungry about now, my goodness. Key lime pie with a little cream on the top and a slice of key lime in there. So we were watching her. She ate it. She ate the first one. She took the first spoonful and put it in her mouth. And this was her expression. And my wife said, well, do you like it? See, that's how we should be with the Word of God. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. That scripture that I just, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. So by grace you are saved. It's not that I'm trying to qualify to be saved. I am saved. Not only I'm saved, that means my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. We gotta not treat God's word as a fast food restaurant. Because the substance of who we are concerning life is revealed through the word. Are y'all getting this? Now, I asked the question, how do we establish our faith? Let me finish now. It says, sixth verse, and have quickened us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Then it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Amen. That's Ephesians 2 and 8. Listen to what it said in the ninth verse. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I like this because it says here in the eighth verse, for by grace are ye saved through faith. You and I are saved through faith. Today I came into church, but I had to go through the door. Does that make any sense? I had to go. See, it's your, my goodness, oh my goodness. Go to Ephesians, amen. We're already in Ephesians, all right. Go to Romans 12 and 3. Romans 12 and 3. How do we establish our faith? Well, Romans 12 and 3 says, for this I say, through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Does that sound familiar? We just read something like that he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt, we all have the same faith in order to get saved. We all had to go through that one door. Yeah. Is that all right? Jesus said, I am the, if any man enter in, he shall be what? See, this is powerful because, amen, a lot of people want to get to God, but they don't want to go through Jesus. Is that all right? So it's interesting that... And when we listen at that, turn to John 3 and 16, because we're going to see what the measure of what that faith is. God dealt to every man the same measure of faith. What is the measure of faith that God gives all of us? Amen. Amen. And it says here in John 3 and 16, you know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have what? Everlasting life. So God gave his son. Jesus is the word made flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not born of the will of man. Oh, but by the will of God. Jesus is born and created by God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is he saying? God has the power to create, amen, through his word, a word that will go in a womb of a woman and come out, and his name is Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The God of the universe. He said, this Jesus is the last Adam. My God. The first Adam, amen, he created from the dust of the ground. And he speaks into him and makes him a living soul. But because of one man's sin, we all became sinners. Because of one man's disobedience, we all was in jail. Couldn't get out. But God released a measure of faith into the earth. Not just for certain people, but for all people in the earth. He released a measure of faith in the earth. And the faith was his word being created in flesh. And his name was called Jesus. And he says that he said he died for the sins of the world. He didn't just die for Columbus, Ohio. Amen. He died for the sins of the world. This measure of faith is called saving faith. This is the faith that we get saved. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's his faith, amen, that's revealed through his son, that we can join our faith with it and be saved and go through the door and be saved. How many have been through the door? Raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to get through the door. Praise God. So it says the measure of, so I just answered your question, amen. Amen, remember that question I asked you earlier, amen? How do we establish our faith in God? Faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And then to say you just hear it, but you have to hear it. There's other things that God will reveal as we begin to hear the word. Somebody say, hear the word. Now here's a big one. Turn to 1 John real quick. Oh, I'm doing good here. I'm doing good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm doing good. Help me. Help me help them. Hallelujah. Yes, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 John. 1 John. In 1 John 5, amen. Look at verse number 9. 1 John, amen. 5 and 9. Listen what this says. Still talking about that measure of faith. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he testifies of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That he believeth not that God hath made him a liar. Ooh, that's powerful. Because he believed not the record that God gave his son. You mean to tell me that when people don't believe the Bible and the written word where God said he sent his son, they're actually calling God a liar. That's frightening there. That's frightening. Just to think on that for a minute. That's real frightening. Now, why did I read this scripture? I mean, I read this scripture because remember, the measure of faith is the same to all people all over the world. Somebody say all over the world. Now, I'm almost at the point where I'm going to kind of take it somewhere, but we're already there, praise God. But I want you to get this point. Two points I want you to give you. One, we are saved by faith in Jesus. Say that with me.
We're saved by faith in Jesus.
Oh, y'all, I'll tell you, y'all right on point, praise God. Number two, we have to grow our faith, through the scriptures in order to obtain the promises of God for our life. I'm going to give you a scripture for that in just a few minutes because this is powerful. So not only, amen, we have to remember that we're saved by faith, what? In who? Jesus. But now after we're saved, we're supposed to grow our faith. Yes. I said we. Yes. Not just you. We. Mm-hmm. Is that all right? Turn to 1 Timothy 4:8 to back up the scripture where we need to build our faith. Remember I told you that faith is the currency of the kingdom. You have to establish your faith in God's word, amen, to use the currency of his promises to be what? Fulfilled. In other words, when we use our faith, amen, we're basically using our faith, which is our confidence in God. Remember we talked about that. Not only that, we're losing what? We're now using our what? Confession. Somebody say confession. Man, because listen, you can't believe God for something and then confess something differently. It's just not going to happen. And what we've done, we put it all on God, and now we're going to sit down and let him do everything. And it's not really, that's not the protocol in the kingdom of God. God says, I'm going to save you, but it's your responsibility to grow your faith. It's my responsibility, amen, to grow our faith. Is that all right? It's your responsibility to grow your faith. 1 Timothy 4:8, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Notice what it says in 1 Timothy 4:8. It simply says here, it says, for bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Somebody say all things. I call the all things spiritually, naturally, physically, financially, and emotionally. That's what I call those five things. Amen. Amen. Notice he says here, the all things and have the promises of what? Of life that now is. So he said, there's some promises that God said he wants to fulfill in your life now.
Yes.
Before you get to heaven.
Yes.
And that's what it says. It says that having the promise of life that now is and also that which is what? To come. In other words, there's some promises that you and I need now we don't need when we get to heaven.
That's right.
If you're sick, you need that healing now. Because when you go to heaven, there's no sickness up there. Is that all right? If you're mentally depressed and you're on medication, that's not God's best for you as a believer. Because Jesus had paid the price that the promise he wants to give us this thing called peace. Because he is the Prince of
Peace.
So he can give out peace to those who understand what that truly means in terms of how to use their faith in order to receive it. Is that making any sense? If you need a job, and they said there is no jobs, amen, because the economy is bad, you can stand up and say, you know what, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. You can now pray to God, ask him anything according to his will, because his will, it is his will that you get a job. I have to tell young men like that sometimes. I tell them, I said, when God created the face first, when God created the first man, he gave him a
job.
He wasn't in the garden, amen, watching ESPN, eating, just walking around. No, he had a job. So work is not a curse. Work is a blessing. Because it's God, what, working with us. Is that making any sense? This is powerful when you understand that the scripture we just read, which is a powerful scripture, amen, 1 Timothy 4:8, it tells us, amen, it tells us, it's giving us a prerequisite, amen, it's trying to educate us to let us know you can't sit on your morals and ask God and believe that God's going to do something. There's something you got to do. You have to do something, amen, which is called to exercise your faith. You got to understand what faith is. Faith is what? What is faith? I already told you what faith is. Faith is your confidence in God. It's your confession. And you, not only that, it's your obedience. You got to be obedient to what the word of God says so he can fulfill his promises in your life. Listen, God didn't save you, amen, to sit down on your morals and take everything that's coming your way and you suck it up and say, well, I know God gonna move one day. God waiting on you to move so he can move. Are you hearing me? God waiting on us to move so he can move. We've been praying for a move of God. God said, you are the move I'm gonna move through. Preaching up in here now, praise God. Let's just recall some things. Number one, that we just said, we're saved by having what? Faith in who? Jesus. That's one. The next is we got to grow our faith. Amen. I just read you the scripture. Why? Because, in other words, without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is God. And listen, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
In other words, God rewards your faith.
Yes.
Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
He rewards our faith.
Yes.
Your faith, I already told you, is more precious than gold. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I got. I just told you the Bible says you got faith. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now notice, the number one that we just talked about, remember number one, we're saved by what? Faith? Somebody say, saved by faith. That's called acceptance. Somebody say acceptance. Yes. The number two, remember to grow our faith? Y'all remember? Number two, to grow our faith? Amen. How many know that talks about change? There are people that get saved, but they don't change. They're still in their old habits, old behaviors, old thinking. Amen. But yet they're in God, but they don't understand that they have to do something with their faith. They have to do something with their faith. My faith, amen, praise God. Your faith, praise God. Turn to 2 Peter 1 and 2. Almost done. I got one more scripture and then I'll be finished, amen, for today. No, I'm not for today. I'm just getting started, amen. We're going to pick this up tonight. There's so much more I want to share with you, amen. 2 Peter, amen. Come on, get there, amen, get there. Amen, get there. We're traveling through the pages, amen, or electronic devices. 2 Peter 1 and 2. 2 Peter, let me get there. 1 and 2. Listen what this says here, because remember, we're saved first. Is that right? That's acceptance. Amen. We grow our faith through the scriptures. Amen. Obtaining what? The promises of God. 1 Timothy 4 and 8. That's us doing, that's using our obedience. Amen. Hearing and doing. James said, just don't be a hearer of the word, but do what the word says do. Amen. Act like the word says we need to act. Think like the word says we need to think. Practice. How many know if you practice it? Quit saying I can't do it. You can do anything you put your mind to do. We do everything else, and we can do the spiritual thing also. We can do what God's word tells us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Get past the excuses of saying I can't. Amen. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Why? Why will he say that and not it not be true? He'll give you the strength if you have the willpower to say, even if you don't have the willpower, God, give me a mind so I can do something other than what I've ever been doing in my life. I need to do something different because you called me to be different. Amen. Not in a way that's peculiar, but amen, that people can see that you're working in my life and that you're raising me up. And my life is not a natural life, amen. And the order in which I live, amen, has a fragrance of your spirit upon me to the degree that I know that it's you working in me and I'm working in you. This is a team effort. I'm working. I'm using my faith and I'm using your word, and your word is, amen, is ministering to me. There's a backwards and forwards, and there's a reward that's taking place in my spirit and in my soul and in my body, amen. When sickness tries to hit me, praise God, you said I'm Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that will heal, amen. And it's not so much the doctor trying to discover what's going on. He reveals to the doctor what's really going on and saves time and effort and money and begins to bring me out, because now he begins to heal the body, amen, because healing is already inside of our body, amen. And God can raise us up if we only believe that he's able, amen, to do these things. By your faith and obedience and confession, you will have what you say. And if you keep looking at what you're looking at and saying what you've always been saying, you're going to keep receiving the same thing, even though you're raising your hands in heaven and waiting, amen, for God to move. And God said, I'm waiting on you to move. I'm waiting on you to drop the remote. I'm waiting on you, amen, to turn the TV off. I'm waiting on you, amen, to get in a quiet place and come back to that place with me and you in the word. Let me speak to you through my word. Let me call you, amen, in the deepest place of my heart. Amen. I can show you, amen, what I've revealed, what I want to reveal to you and help you through this struggle. Amen. I know you're having difficulty in this area. Let me help you through that. Don't just accept it and say I'm a victim, amen. Because somebody down the street said, well, I'm going through the same thing. Amen. That's their report. Let me give you another report. Amen. Yes. Can God? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, he can. And more. Amen. Somebody said, and more. Listen what this Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2. I'm almost done. It says here, to Simon Peter, the servant. 2 Peter, amen, I said verse number 1. Simon Peter, the servant and the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Somebody said, well, I've obtained like precious faith. Listen, with us through the righteousness of God and the Savior Jesus Christ. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Did y'all hear that? Yes. He says, through the knowledge that we obtain We can receive, amen, more grace. Woo, and more peace. Did you hear that? And you can't pray it down. You have to get into a study about it, amen. And then he'll reveal it to you. Is that making any sense? Listen what this says in the Amplified. The same two scriptures that I just read. Simon Peter, the servant, the apostle, the special messenger of Jesus Christ to those who have received and obtained an equal privilege of precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. May grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being and all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflict, be multiplied in you in the full personal and precise and correct knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus wrote over in Matthew 11 and 28, he says, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. Then he says, my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. He gives us the two-step thing that I told you about. One is acceptance. You, amen, you have to accept him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Tired of the world, tired of doing things in the self-independent way. Amen. Understanding that self can't deliver you. There's got to be something other than yourself. Amen. And his name is Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. And the message is still the same. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. The first rest that we enter into is salvation. Salvation, amen, through the Lamb of God, through the blood, through his word and spirit. We have now entered into covenant. The covenant means that God makes a promise. He said, I'll be with you, amen. I won't leave you. I will keep you, amen, even to the end of your days. And when you're dead, amen, your body is in the grave, I'll raise you up, amen, to be in my presence, amen, because I am God, praise God. The Bible said the 29th verse, he said, take my yoke. You got to do something, amen. Now it's for take my yoke upon you and learn of me, amen. It's a personal yoke, amen. You have to personally put it on, amen. Amen. The yoke is what you put on an animal, amen, to control his head, amen, so everything else will follow in the same direction, praise God. You got to put that yoke. That yoke is on his neck, because when he's trying to turn his head to go in different directions and do what he wants to do, it cuts his neck. It causes pain, amen. It causes him to keep it straight. But Jesus said, the yoke that I give you, it won't cut you, amen. The yoke, amen, that I give you, amen. If we release burdens, it give you a place of peace and rest in your soul. That means your soul is your mind, your will, and your intellect. Amen. Some of us are in prison just in our minds because we don't think right. We don't believe that he's able because we're gripped with fear and doubt and unbelief. But I'm here to tell you, this week is empowerment week. This week is when we're going to all pull up to the filling station, amen, and put our spirit, amen, and our soul, amen, in line so that God can hook us up with the word of God and pump some fuel down inside of our spirit so we can begin to think differently and believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And do you hear me today? God wants to put some fire in your tank. Somebody said, you need some fire in your tank. Somebody said, well, you're talking about emotion. No, I'm talking about being free. Free of not having enough to pay a bill. Hello. I know what that feels like. Not having enough to pay the gas bill or the light bill or the phone bill. When you know, one thing about bills, they don't stop coming. They don't take vacations. But when we learn how to use our faith, but my God, he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Father, I thank you. I gave him only just a piece of what you're going to do this week. Many are going to be challenged to say, I've done my religious duty. I'm not going back tonight. I'm tired. Help us to get past that confession. Help us to know if we ever in our life can push past what we want to do. For one time, just getting into the place of making a sacrifice, there's a reward for those who you said diligently seek you. So Lord, thank you for the word today, God. It was just a powerful, powerful word to remind us that it's our faith, but it's also your faith. How the two tie together and how there are some promises that you've given us in this life, spiritually, naturally, physically, and financially, and emotionally, that's still made available if we use how to learn how to use our faith. Father, I thank you. If anybody feels like they're a failure and they've missed the time, give us grace to restart. Let us have no excuses not to engage. And I thank you for this word. Thank you for allowing me to share the time together, our laughter, and but most of all, Holy Spirit, take what has been received in their spirit. Let them not forget. Deal with them in a way that only you can, so we can experience change. This we pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor Brubaker.